Good afternoon. BPR is here today with Professor Rahman, a visiting associate professor of economics at Brown University and an associate professor of economics at the U.S. Naval Academy. Thank you so much for being here today. We're so happy to be able to talk with you.
Thanks. It's wonderful to be here.
I know your research lies primarily in economic growth. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what it seeks to answer that other research doesn't and what it's trying to explain.
Sure. So one line of research that I'm focused on here, at least for this year, is something called unified growth. And what it attempts to do is link different phases of economic development all under one underlying model. So, for example, before early industrialization, lots of economists describe that world as a Malthusian world. And to describe the evolution from a Malthusian economy to an industrializing one, to one where there's a demographic transition taking place, to one in the one which we live now, modern economic growth, to link it all together under one growth model is, some of us think it's a noble goal and a very difficult one, but one that we think leads a lot of insights in other realms of economics.
Have there been any method or techniques that you've tried implementing that aren't as conventional in order to answer that question?
Well, much of this work is highly theoretical, so always plugging away with new models, new mathematical approaches, and at the same time we couple that with data. So always we're on the lookout for new sources, new data sources, particularly historical sources that measure things of human capital such as literacy, numeracy, fertility rates, wages. I mean, these us economists who have an eye bent towards history are often very data hungry, and so lots of what I'm doing this year is in that.
So I know that you also teach intermediate macroeconomics at Brown this semester. I was wondering if there are any topics that you might discuss in that class, things such as the debt or immigration, that are relevant in that class, that are fundamentals that you don't see being discussed maybe correctly or often enough in the political sphere.
Well, I think much of things that are discussed in the political sphere, we care about those things very much in the economics world. I imagine we tackle these similar questions very differently. So topics such as immigration, topics such as government debt, we absolutely explore with some degree of rigor in macroeconomics, but we do so with sort of an eye towards what we call positive economics, building models, thinking about certain assumptions, and then attacking those assumptions, right? So these are topics that historians care about, political scientists care about, sociologists and psychologists care about, and we just lend a little bit of a different perspective, a little bit more analytical, possibly.
Can you give an example of something maybe that is more positive in the class than it is in this?
Well, so, for example, the nature of debt, for example, everyone has their perspective, and it's very important. Politics, you can't get around not talking about the government debt. What we do in macroeconomics is focus on the various aspects of debt with various modeling assumptions. So, for example, sometimes we suggest that government debt won't affect real economic variables. Other times, we really relax that assumption. Sometimes we have assumptions suggesting that government policy, such as monetary policy or fiscal policy, have certain effects on the overall economy, and other times we shut down those effects. And a lot of people criticize these models for being not realistic, and in some ways that's a valid critique, but it's up to me as an instructor to teach the students that the models are actually very valuable as long as you sort of know what to do with them. They are tools for understanding the world, and sort of it's my job, that's the way I think about it, is to teach the students how to use those tools. And it's up to them to then take those tools and use them in productive ways as opposed to counterproductive ways.
So I know that in a lot of scenarios, there are instances oftentimes a bit more complicated than just what your macroeconomics textbook will teach you. And I'm kind of curious how we can kind of take what we learn and reapply it, or if there's any specific instances where you think it's really important to keep in mind the fundamentals, given that each scenario has such specific characteristics to it.
Right. So one thing that macroeconomists tend to do is strip away the political ramifications of these actions. In fact, there's lots of policies that economists would suggest that the political science in turn would say, well, that's all wonderful, except it's utterly unimplementable because the politics simply, it can't happen. Certain taxation policies, certain governmental spending policies that most economists would agree on might not particularly be feasible. But once again, I would say that it's important to for us to teach the students here at Brown what the actual recommendations for economists would be. And then for the students to take the turn and say, okay, well then if these are things that are for the betterment of us as a people, as a nation, and so on, how do we thwart the politics? Or how do we come to a better situation knowing now that we have this political aspect here that needs to be addressed, right? So it's not like we as economists are going to be able to kind of get there, but at least this is like one step in terms of thinking about positive economic analysis and then having students take it to the next level and think about, okay, well then, if this is the way the world should look, right, if indeed it should, how could we merge it towards that world?
So speaking of the students, I know that you regularly teach at the Naval Academy.
That's right.
I was wondering if there's some significant differences between the students that you teach here versus the Naval Academy and just in general in the atmosphere.
Well, at the Academy, for example, were I to walk into the room, there would be the sudden reverential hushed tone, and then they would all stand to attention. And that's one example where I don't know if many people could even envision such a thing happening here. So I would say, yeah, there's many differences. I am enjoying the dichotomy between the two classroom environments, actually. As you can imagine, I think the students here at Brown, I mean, they create a certain, there's a great energy here. There's a certain chaoticness that I actually am fully embracing right now because it is very different. Another difference might be the questioning. I think students won't take things at face value. They will push back if something doesn't feel right. And that's something wholly refreshing to me right now. Maybe I'll change my mind later as the semester approaches, continues, and my energies wear weary a little bit. But right now, I'm really enjoying the dialogue back and forth between what I'm charged to teach and sort of, and the students' perspective. So they're free in voicing their perspectives, and right now I'm really enjoying the back and forth.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us today and meeting with us. And for all of our listeners, please tune in next week for another podcast with the Brown Political Review. Thank you.